We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Host, Ron Van Dam. Now here's your host, Ron Van Dam. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. That's my name. Show. Bob Show. I'm Bob Show. Hey, welcome to the program. My name is indeed Bob Show, and it's a pleasure to have you here on the Ron Van Dam Show. Damn him. Damn him. Good morning. I'm making fun of myself. Isn't that exciting? Why go to junior high school if you can make fun of yourself in your own home, huh? What are you talking about? Get off my back, seriously. Seriously, get off my back. How you doing? Good to be with you on this fine day. We're recording this on October 31st, 2014, in the year of your Lord. Hey, I can't get used to the fact it's 2014, even though it's almost over. I'm still writing 2002 on my checks. Hey, ba-dum, bum, bum, bum. Get out of here with those stand-up comedy jokes. Yeah, the little bastards will be, I'm sorry, did I say little bastards by mistake, or did I say it on purpose? No, they're not little bastards, they're adorable little midget people. They're tiny, they walk around, I don't know how they do it without toppling over. And they put on these horrendous costumes and they go door to door selling vacuum cleaners. And I'm telling you something. Hey, when I was a kid, we used to collect for UNICEF. Man, would I make out. No, I'm serious. Now you would collect pennies. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but I didn't sleep well last night. I would collect pennies. Every girl in the neighborhood named Penny was in my closet, pretty much. And still is. Anyway, they're skeletons now. They're skeletons in my closet. I would collect pennies for UNICEF. And the next day, I would go to school with my bucket full of pennies and hand it in and impress everybody as to how I was giving to the UNICEF people, the United Children's Exception Fund. I have no idea what it stood for, to be honest with you. I know I was collecting pennies to go to children, and I'm saying to myself, why can't I just keep the pennies? I'm a child. What the hell? Let's cut out the middleman and go to town. But I suppose it was for children less fortunate than me. And looking back at it, I wasn't all that fortunate. No, actually, I was. And it gives a child a feeling of donating, so that when they grow older, when people call and bother them on the phone, they can give to them and stuff like that and help save the whales and the wildlife and the birds and whatever. Now, you should save things like that. It's just that I'm not sure that the money's going to them. I think it kind of gets misdirected somewhere, and I'm buying office furniture for the corporate people at the World Wildlife Federation, the WWF, which I thought was a wrestling federation. I'm all confused. Now I think I'm giving money to the wrestling federation. That would be stupid. They don't need money. They're making a lot of money. Why would I donate to them? Why would I donate to big burly wrestlers? That's ridiculous. But I think that's what I'm doing by mistake with this WWF stuff. I thought I was saving pandas. I mean, or pandas that wrestle. I mean, should there be panda wrestling? Is that illegal? Can you bet on wrestling pandas anymore? I No, back at the turn of the century, it was big, along with cockfighting. Boy, was my cock tired. Stop it! Just stop making stupid jokes like that. Man, there are kids listening to this show. Not. Don't let your kids listen to this, seriously. Unless you want to just teach them a lesson for the rest of their lives, that if you don't turn out well, look at what you're going to do like this Van Damme guy. You know, that might set the kid straight. Oh, you mean I may turn out like him? Oh, I want to be a doctor now. I don't want to turn out like him. Kids' voices quiver, I suppose. So today is Halloween, and I don't know when you're listening to this. Halloween could be over. I really don't know. And to be honest with you, I really don't care. But this is the day the little bastards, I'm sorry, did I do that again? The little kids, little midgets, the things with the little heads, go walking around collecting candy. And I've got my candy already. I've got 80 pieces of candy, and they're individually wrapped it myself. No, I didn't. They came from the store like that. Never let your kids take any candy or eat any candy that is not wrapped. And it should be like wrapped, sealed, like manufacturer's wrapping. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, these are the only kids you got. And you went through a whole lot of bullshit to get these kids. You know what I'm saying? You had to raise them and change their diapers and hear them scream and cry. And you had to push watermelons out of your uterus. I mean, you had to go through a lot to have these little bastards. So let's protect them. Once you have them, let's like take care of them at least, you know, give them a bath every once in a while. My God, clean their fingernails. Seriously, take them to the vet every once in a while. I'm sorry, did I say vet by mistake? I meant, what do you call them? Pediatricians, Pedialyte people? I don't really know what they're called. It's been a long time for me. It was a wonderful experience. It really was. It seriously was. I just wouldn't do it again. That's all I'm saying. I have two kids, and I love them, and done, finished, been there, done that, and happy, and thank you so much for asking. Thanks for your many cards and letters. So Halloween today, kids coming to the door, ding dong, and you always say the same thing. Oh, look at you. I mean, look at you. It's ridiculous. It's fun. It's fun to see the kids dress up. And again, with the masks that you can't see through, the little plastic slits, you know, and hey, watch out for that. Oh, no, you know. Yeah, I mean, be careful. Make sure you have the house insurance paid up. I'm telling you, because make sure those kids don't fall down. That is a lawsuit waiting to happen. I'm serious. Make sure all those wet, slippery leaves are out of the way. Don't let those kids fall down. It's going to be bad. They're going to hurt themselves. I, as I've said, I'm more concerned about when they get the candy and then they turn around and they like run out to the street for the next house, and that's when they don't see the steps. And watch out, kid! Yeah. That was the sound of the kid's bones crashing and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Watch out, you little bastard! Yeah, oh my God. Oh, wow. Apparently the kid's collecting light bulbs. Yeah, oh my God. Oh, that hurt. Oh, that's horrible. That's terrible. Yeah, I have about 50 stairs leading up to my front door. Yeah, there goes the kid. There goes the kid. Oh my God, all right. That's right. That's the audio version for the court case that will obviously come up. If you don't have insurance for the house, you must have insurance. And the Homestead Act, that was right after the opening act was the Homestead Act, where apparently you go down to the registry of whatever, registry of fools, the deeds, indeed they're fools, and for something like $50... you homestead your house so that they can't take your house away from you, which they still can do. It's just now you've paid $50, and I guess not everybody can take the house away from you, just most people, especially. Yeah, there you go. There goes the kid again. Careful. The same damn kid just doesn't learn his lesson. What happened to all the sexy Halloween costumes? In the magazines, I see these voluptuous, busty women dressed like nurses and Supergirl and Wonder Woman and all these sexy, you know, the sexy cop, you know what I'm saying? All these sexy things. And I don't know, like when the kids come to my door, they're never wearing that crap. I mean, I wish they were. I mean, if a kid came to my door dressed like a sexy nurse, I'd be the one falling down. No, I'm sorry. Is it obvious to you yet that I only have one sound effect of someone falling? Did you figure that out yet? Mm-hmm. Kind of obvious to me, and I'm sure to you too. Hold on, I'm going to take a sip of water. Oh, that's good water. Comes right from the raindrops. Beautiful job. I drink the Poland Springs because I can't get there from here, and I'm figuring, man, no one's going to tamper with this crap. And it does taste different than other waters. Okay, that being said, that's it. And Halloween, and we get it, and there you have it. Now, Sunday, you have to turn the clocks back. Yes. In the spring, you spring forward. In the fall, you fall back, just like the damn little... Yeah. That's just like that. Fall back with your clocks. And this happens at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's not at midnight. It's at 2 o'clock in the morning because people are still up at midnight and they're figuring, why change the clocks then? You're just going to screw them up before they go to bed. Almost everybody is in bed by 2 o'clock except for, hello, good morning. Except for guys that have to pee. Other than that, everybody else is sleeping. So that's when the time change occurs. And it's kind of funky because if you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you have like one of those cable boxes with the time on it, you know, that's like the official time. And then you're watching the clock and it's like 1:55 in the morning, 1:56, 1:57, 1:58, 1:59. Then it's 2 o'clock. I got it wrong. It's 1:50, 1:51, 1:52, 1:53, 1:54, 1:55, 1:56, 1:57, 1:58, 1:59, 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock again. And you go, whoa, Groundhog Day. It gets crazy. And when the time changes, you get all messed up and you fall down. There you go. All right, fine. All right. Oh. Right. That's what happens at 2 o'clock. So you gain an hour and everybody goes, oh, I gain an hour of sleep. Yeah, enjoy it because in the spring, you're going to lose an hour of sleep. So like, you know, it's not really a big deal. It's still going to get dark at about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening. Probably, you know, a little after 4, it starts getting a little sleepy outside. And I don't know. I don't know why they changed the time, to be honest with you. I'm not too sure. I guess the sun wouldn't come up until like 8 o'clock in the morning, and kids going to school would be going to school in the dark. Is that why? Is that why they do that? I don't really know the reason for it, to be honest with you. But it occurs the first Sunday in November every year, and that's what's coming up. And I think it gives the kids another hour to sleep because they were eating their candy all night and were throwing up the night before. I think that's pretty much how that works out, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I think that's how that's going to work. Okay, I've talked enough. Here's a little bit of a music thing in the middle. You know, that's right. So I can take a little breather, take a crap, and I'll be back in about 30 seconds. Isn't it a pity? Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, it is.
Now, isn't it a shame?
Yes, it is.
How we break each other's hearts.
Yes, it is a shame. It's a pity, actually.
Cause each other pain.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
How we take each other's love.
Hey, where's my love? Who took that?
Without thinking anymore.
I stopped thinking a long time ago.
Forgetting to give back.
Where's the back? Isn't this a pity?
Isn't it a pity? Some things take so long.
I miss that guy. I miss that guy. Yeah, it's kind of odd. Beatles, probably the most recognized greatest group of the prior generation, and also this one too, kind of. I don't know. There aren't too many people that don't know who the Beatles are, and it's just four of them. Half of them are gone, and that's just freaking weird. I don't know. We have a special guest that I want to introduce at this time. This is a rock band of five women in their 20s. For a guy, who could complain about this? For a woman, it's like really cool. They are really good. They write their own music, and they have a purpose and a cause. Some of them are housewives. Some of them are not. And we're going to speak to two of the members, including the founding person. But first, I want to play on a play. I want to play. Oh, man, it would be nice if I could talk, huh? Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. This is a group called The Misses. And this is a song called Enough. And this is a song that they wrote that's doing really, really well. It's like phenomenal. This is a song. We're going to talk to them right after we hear this song.
Sometimes I dream that there are two of me. One is real, one a fantasy. She's a perfect ballerina dancing on a cloud. On the ground, but I shout it loud. I'm enough.
I am joined by Andra and Mandy with the rock band The Misses. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks. Doing well.
What part of the country are you located in?
We're in Austin, Texas.
Oh, you have no accents.
Until we say y'all.
Oh, okay, there it is. All right, so let's start from the beginning. What, who started this, and why the concept?
Well, really, we're a band that came out with a song, simply, and a video to tell women that they're enough. And, this video has just exploded.
Wow.
It's gotten now over 4 million views in multiple languages. I think it's French, Spanish, Chinese, and I can't even tell you what else. And the next thing we knew, we were receiving a phone call to appear on Good Morning America,
wow,
Queen Latifah, and Univision. And this response has been pretty unbelievable. And the main thing is that we had a message that we wanted to change the negative thoughts that women had when they looked in the mirror. And it's actually become a movement. That's what this band's about.
Huh.
We wanted to change the way women see themselves, and we couldn't be more excited about it.
When was the band put together?
Well, I kind of put together the band about 5 years ago,
mm-hmm,
but The Misses has been together a little over close to 2 years.
2 years, wow. And then, so the band was together, and then did you perform, or did you, like, immediately cut a video?
We started writing songs right away,
okay,
and Enough was one of the first songs we wrote,
mm-hmm,
and we decided that we really wanted to share that message with people, and so we then recorded the video that we made in the mall with our magic mirror.
Hmm. Tell me about the magic mirror.
Well, if you haven't seen the video, mm-hmm, you have to see it. It's up on our website, themisses.com.
Mm-hmm.
But we were recently on with Queen Latifah, and she was literally brought to tears after watching it.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she instantly thought of her mother and how she would love for her to experience it. And in fact, experiencing the mirror has been one of our number one requests. So we've decided we're going to go ahead and create an app for everyone to share with their loved ones all over the world.
Hmm.
And so that they can share the same experience that people see on our video. And that's what we're trying to do, is just spread this love to everyone.
Hmm. Interesting. Was the video produced for YouTube or produced as a music video? How did it spread and become so popular?
Well, I think that the main point is that it resonated with so many women.
Uh-huh.
That's why I think it became so popular. You know, I think that most women want to feel that they're enough.
Yeah.
And when women watch the video, they see that. And,
right,
you know, women want to stop beating themselves up because I think at the heart of what they're doing, they want to feel okay.
Right.
And the video itself, we shot it because we wanted to put real women in front of a mirror and let them see,
right,
themselves the way other people,
right,
see them. Like my friend who I brought to the mirror, who's a school teacher.
Yep.
He's from Alvin, Texas, a small town in Alvin, Texas. And I wanted her to see herself,
yeah,
the way everyone sees her.
Huh.
And, I wanted her to see that she's valued,
yeah,
and appreciated the way that all that her children and all the other teachers see her. And it was a life-changing experience for her.
That's very different, what you're doing. It's like multidimensional.
Right. Well, when we thought about making a music video for Enough, the other ideas that we came up just,
yeah,
didn't seem to get the message across. So we thought we need to actually stand a woman up in front of a mirror,
uh-huh,
and have it be a place where she feels good about herself.
Wow.
So that was our mission. Yeah.
And how did you get into the app thing? Did you team up with somebody else who does that kind of thing? I mean, usually people don't think of that.
We did. And we have, after the video went viral, we had a lot of people coming to us. And so we kind of came up with this idea of how can we get this message out to more women, because the number one request was that more women want to experience it. And so the only way to do that is to allow this, you know, experience to go to more women. And the app will actually allow women to be able to have this experience anytime. And, you know, one of the ideas was to have, you know, moms to be able to have daughters send sweet notes throughout the day, or friends be able to send friends, you know, just a boost whenever they're down and things like that, or even like a husband to send a note to their wife, you know, throughout the day. So the main goal is that we want women to now be able to look to their mirrors and feel good about themselves. And that's it. And when you have a goal like that, teams and people come to you and say they have the ideas. And we get inundated every day at our website at themissus.com with people wanting to help us. And it's exciting because women are rallying around this message because they want to find ways to help too. And it's really, really exciting and empowering to us that we're not sleeping at night. We're trying to find more ways to spread the message and to help too.
Wow. Very, 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 very cool. It's www. You don't have to say that anymore, do you? The Mrs. shows you how antiquated I am. Right. I'm still doing HTTP, so I don't think I have to do that either. It's themissus.com. It sounds like it's just full of information and materials and all kinds of ideas. Boy, you stimulate people. That's a wonderful thing, not only through your music, but through your concepts as well, which is really cool. Are you all mothers?
Well, no, three of us are, Jennifer, Jenny, and me, Andra, are all three moms, and so we have enough children to run the group. Sometimes at band rehearsal gets a little crazy when they're all there.
Wow. Okay.
But we have a good time, that's for sure.
Well, congratulations to you again. It's themissus.com. Pleasure speaking to you. Hope we can do it again, and thank you so much for your time.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Great talking to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Nice, nice, nice people. Very nice people. Did you like the people? They're nice people. That was Audra, or Andra, something like that. Who was the conceiver. She gave birth to the group, so to speak, in that sense. Pleasure there. Nice girls. Themissus.com. Check out their other songs and this app thing, which is interesting, seeing yourself in the mirror. Interesting. And the name of their song, Enough, about women. Telling them that they're enough, or men telling them that's enough, that's enough, and something like that. I don't know. All right, kids, how you doing? Good to see you. You're looking real good today, by the way. I don't know, did you shower today? Did you do something to your hair? Did you give it that Brazil treatment? That's a really nice thing, because that's exactly what they do in the lovely country of Brazil. That's the wrong music. Fine. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Ron Van Dam, and it is my pleasure to entertain you.
Now that he is finally free of the constraints of terrestrial radio and into the anything-goes atmosphere of the podcasting world, we can finally say that Ron Van Dam is one badass motherfucker. What was that? Okay, that's the way it's going to be? Great. F*** you. You're listening to the f***ing Ron Van Dam Show on Metro Self Podcasting. I didn't even say anything that time. We'll be right back.
I was reading an article yesterday. I do that every once in a while. I will read an article once every 70 years, something like that. And I was noticing recently that when I go to the supermarkets, that they have the little handy wipe things, you know, you pull them out of the thing and they've got the lanolin cleaner on them and they're little like wipes and you wipe your hands and you wipe the handle of the shopping cart and then, you know, you're Ebola free. I don't know how that works, but now they have them at the entrance to almost all supermarkets for your dining and dancing pleasure. So I'm reading this article about germs because in the back of everybody's mind is Ebola, you know, is it Ebola? Are you Ebola-ing? Everybody comes off the plane at an airport. Do they have Ebola? Is it got an Ebola? Is it got an Ebola? Are you sneezing? You have Ebola? Are you coughing? You got Ebola? There's a little rash on your face. Ebola? I got temperature. You got Ebola? It's serious. It's terrible. You know, you don't want to say you have Ebola because guys in hazmat suits will take you away for 30 days and you're going to miss your favorite television shows and, you know, you can't drink. So anyway, my biggest concern, of course, kidding, that's a joke. I really don't drink that much. Shopping cart handle. So I'm reading this article about the germiest places that you encounter on a daily basis. So I'm going to give you the 8 germiest places, according to this particular article. And the worst was shopping cart handles. Yeah, because people, and I guess I've done this too, I'm not too sure, but if you have a cold or something, you usually don't wipe your nose with a handkerchief, or actually people don't use handkerchiefs. Handkerchiefs are a disgusting invention. You take a piece of cloth, you blow your snot into it, and then you put it in your pocket. Holy crap. That's the way people used to live. No wonder why the you know, people died at an earlier age, because of the snot rags. Now we have disposable tissues. You know, you blow your nose, you throw the tissue out. But every once in a while, you'll see people wiping their nose with their hands or you know, scratching their crotch or, you know, scratching their ass or something. I mean, we all do it, usually not in public with a shopping cart, but nonetheless, your hands are filthy. I don't know where you've been. So that shopping cart handle, everybody, in order to push the cart, has to touch it with their hands. And it is one of the most disgusting germ bacteria-laden objects that you will encounter every day. The next place is swings and jungle gyms for the kids. And it's not only because other kids touch themselves and then go on the jungle gym and touch that, but it's bird poop. Bird poop, ladies and gentlemen. Birds poop on everything. And some of it is that white poop stuff, and some of it is clear. And if you have a sandbox next to your house that the kids play in, or you go to a playground, there's a sandbox. Holy crap, man. There is holy crap in the sandbox. It's like big kitty litter things for animals. Bad place. Another horrible place, which I never thought about, I know the bathrooms are disgusting and we all wash our hands, we should, but apparently the sinks in the public bathrooms are one of the most disgusting bacteria-ridden places. And it's not the sink itself, it's either you turn the faucet on or you tap something to get the faucet going. That is laden with bacteria because your hands are filthy from the toilet and then you tap the thing to make the water go in the sink. They have a lot of tapless sinks now where you just run your hands under the faucet and they come on automatically with a sensor. That's cool. But if you're tapping something, man, people tapping that have toilet hands. That's where they go after they do the toilet hands. The next place, which again I never thought of, is if you work in an office, the telephone and the desk surface are disgusting. Nobody really cleans telephones, and everybody is taking their bacteria and their snot and their stuff, and they're speaking into the phone like putting their mouth right on the damn thing. and the earpieces have like head lice and large dinosaurs on them. And nobody ever washes down the top of a desk. You know, you might like brush it off, but nobody wipes it down. And that is a big problem. Of course, in restaurants, we know that everything's disgusting, but tabletops are usually dusted with a rag, and the rag is usually dirty. Busboys, I love the busboys, the boys of the bus. I don't know how the bus thing came about. It's not like these guys are, maybe they're bussed in. I have no idea. I got busboys. They'll typically wipe down a table with a dirty cloth. And that's like double disgusting on top of the fact that it's disgusting. If you go to the library, apparently the countertops and the desktops are filthy. They're rarely cleaned off. If they are, they're just dusted. They're not disinfected. And again, you have people from the public standing there and touching this crap. Another one, did you ever take a cruise on a cruise ship? I would never go because it's like Ron, we're going to put you on an object to put you out in the middle of the ocean and see ya. I mean, like, you know, like whatever happens, happens. So many stories about cruise ships getting stuck out in the middle of the ocean or being quarantined because someone's sick on it. It's not for me, ladies and gentlemen. I want to be able to kiss the earth as much as I possibly can. Being out in the middle of the ocean, not a good feeling for Ron. I don't care how much food they shove down my throat, not a good feeling for Ron. The cruise ship handrails are apparently some of the most disgusting bacteria living places in the world. The handrails on a cruise ship. Who would think? Who would think? And here's another one that I never think about, and I touch them all the time. You're in a mall, you're in a shopping mall, and you're getting on the escalator, or you're going up the stairs with the handrail, but especially the escalator, because people hold on an escalator pretty much. Those escalator rails are just like people, crappy kind of, everybody's putting their, you know. When I go on a subway or a train station, especially a subway, those handrails going down to the subway, holy crap, I can imagine what's on that. That's got to be like ass cheek particles. I mean, it's just this. Oh, it's disgusting. Bums and people with snot and oh God, oh God. It's amazing. It's amazing that I can still stand upright. It's just disgusting. I'm going to shift gears now because my talent is shifting gears. I can go from disgusting handrails to my next subject because I have another guest today before I sign off for the weekend. This guest is, do you ever want to adopt a kid? Not me. I'm done with that. But some people, they can't have children. Or they really want to save kids from foster homes. And God love them, man. You people are saints. I mean, because a kid in a foster home, man, that's horrible. That's like psychologically confusing. It's defeating. And it's just awful. It's just awful. So there are some good people in the world. I am not among them. I'm good, but I'm not that good in that way. I wouldn't do that, but people do this and I love them. And so I thought I would do this little segment, because I think it's important. Apparently now there was a time where you wouldn't adopt kids from other states. Now you can like bring them in from other places, like from puppy mills. It's not a puppy mill, and I'm sorry I said that, but, they can cross state lines. And I mean, you know, we're not talking about young babies here so much as we are about kids who are looking for a home. And again, there are some real good people that do this, that adopt these kids. And let's find out about that right now. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for this opportunity to talk about children who need a family.
Yeah, it's very interesting, the subject matter that we're talking about here. Is it common for people to adopt over state lines?
Well, it is. And I will say thanks to the internet. Most states now have photo listings of children who are waiting to be adopted. And so as people search on the internet, they see children and they become interested in pursuing adoption of them, but they live in a different state.
Right.
And so a lot of times people get frustrated with some of the restrictions and requirements or regulations, and the adoption doesn't happen. And so we said, look, we will have a photo listing available of children. We will help you and help go through the process.
Is it difficult for somebody to get involved in that process? I know at a point people were, it was difficult to acquire a child, so to speak. Is it still difficult?
Well, I think what we should talk about is, you know, there's private adoption where families are interested in adopting a child who's an infant or under two.
Mm-hmm.
Then these children that we're talking about are children in the United States foster care system who've been removed for child abuse or neglect and have been unable to be returned to their family.
Mm-hmm.
And so those children are waiting. And I think there are some myths surrounding that. People think it's costly.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular situation, there is no cost or just minimal cost for a family to adopt. And there's a lot of support and even financial support to families who are interested in adopting these children.
Okay. So it is encouraged in order to get into this program.
Very much so. And every year, of that roughly a little over 100,000 children available for adoption, 23,000 age out of the system, meaning they leave the foster care system and have no family.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's very much encouraged for families to explore and become adoptive families.
Is there a success rate in this system as far as those homes actually taking effect and grounding?
Yes. In fact, the studies that are done show that children adopted from foster care or children adopted have as successful family experience or attachment as children that are born into a family. It's not a higher rate of problems or anything.
Okay.
And I think that's another myth out there that people think, well, these kids, you know, they've had a rough life and they're going to be a challenge. And while some of that is true, overall, it's no different than biological children.
Yeah.
And I want to say the whole adoption system realizes that there are challenges with these children, and through education, training, and intervention can make the placement, you know, to be an excellent experience for the child and the family.
What is the average age or the age range of what we're talking about here?
Well, children waiting to be adopted are probably ranging from the age 5 or 8 through age 15.
Okay.
And, you know, most people when they enter in would like to start at the youngest age. But what I would encourage families, and there are a lot of families who have raised children and are saying, you know what, we're experienced parents and we could take on an older child. Mm-hmm. And what's available to them then is a child who maybe needs some help with education, with schooling, and they can provide a wonderful lifelong experience for that child and for them. And there's many families that do that, and it is very successful.
I would assume, and I'm probably incorrectly, that that the majority of foster children that are accepted for this program are usually going to parents that cannot have children of their own. Is that the prevalent reason, or is it also not?
I would say not. I mean, some of that exists, but there are families, like I described, who've parented and are saying, you know, we have the resources and ability to do it again. And there are families that even are currently raising, you know, their children and saying, you know, we have enough love and resources, we can take on another child. So it's really, for these children, it's a good mixture.
Right.
The other thing, a lot of families get started in this by being foster parents, and then they get attached to their foster child and will end up adopting that child. And so that's another way for families to become adoptive families, is to start by being a foster family.
All right. In the same way that if someone actually gives birth to a child, they start a family and they have two or three more. So I guess it's the same kind of thing at that point. Was there a problem previously with adopting over state lines?
I think what happens when you try to adopt over state lines, one is the state that has the child, they're very concerned about getting, you know, the proper information about the family who's interested. There sometimes is a concern about, well, this child is accustomed to this school district or school setting. Do we really want to send that child to another state? And so you have those kind of barriers. And I guess what we felt is those barriers should not stop a child from having a family.
Okay. Where would someone go to get more information?
Well, Bethany is located in 36 states. We have over 100 offices in the United States. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way for a family is to go to our website, which is bethany.org. And on there is all the information they would need to begin starting the adoption or foster care process.
Mm-hmm.
And we have information meetings where there's no obligation, but families can learn more about fostering to adopt, and we would love to have them contact us.
Is there the process where you meet the child and you spend some time first? I mean, I assume. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and what we would do is, in the process of preparing the family, we would ask some questions about, you know, what type of child are they interested in? How would it fit within their existing family?
Mm-hmm.
And families can give us some of their criteria where they think they could best be matched with a child.
Right.
And then we would present them profiles of that child.
Okay.
And so it's a process where there are no, what I want to say is, there are no surprises. We want the child to know everything about the family, and we want the family to know everything about the child before there's a match made.
Okay. Very good. So more information at Bethany.com, was it?
Bethany.org.
O-R-G.
Bethany.org.
Okay. It's an O-R-G kind of thing. Okay. Bill
yes,
Bill Blackwire, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we've learned something that we probably didn't know before, so that's very cool.
Well, and thank you for the opportunity for children to become part of a family.
Pleasure. Take care today. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That's a Bill Blackwire. Thank you, Bill. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for me to exit the building. I want to remind you, Sunday, to turn your clocks back. Make it an hour earlier. And also, it is an opportunity if you have a smoke detector in your house, and you really should, I mean, at least one on every level, you should do that. It's time to either check the batteries or change the batteries, that kind of thing. That's also the reminder time for that. And be careful driving around tonight if you are listening to this on the Halloween, October 31st. There are kids in the street walking around. Drive extra slow, extra cautiously tonight, because kids will be in the street, and some of them are wearing dark costumes. Some of them are not smart enough to have flashlights. They can't see well. You must drive very differently tonight, without question. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful weekend. I wish you peace. And you know what? You are just so wonderful. You really are. You...